Hello and welcome to Actually Comics, the Coast City Comics comic book podcast for January 30th, 2019. I'm Tristan.
And I'm the Knight.
The Knight.
I'm Bob.
Bob.
I am the Knight.
All right. We have these comic books in absolutely no particular order. Kind of just pulled them off the wall, and so we're just going to grab them and look at them and do it that way.
They're actually in alphabetical order.
Well, this one starts with a J, so I know it is not in alphabetical order.
Except for that one. They're in alphabetical order, I swear to God.
All right. Well, this one is Journey into Unknown Worlds.
Yes.
Which is one of those throwback one-shot Marvel titles. It's their horror sci-fi book, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
One of the stories is about some sort of alien that invades your bones. Another one is about an alien that turns you into butterflies in a Boy Scout camp. Pretty friggin' awesome. Love it.
Yep. And we had Cullen Bunn writing one of the stories on this one, and someone with the last name of Chapman. We also have some artists.
Chapstick Chapman.
We don't always focus on who did the comics, but Journey into Unknown Worlds, celebrating 80 years of Marvel Comics. Number one, it's out. Two stories for the price of one. Good.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. And Action Comics 1007.
Can I tell you how much I love this comic?
You can.
It's so good. I loved it. To like put your arms all the way out, and then it's like more than that.
I would I would knock something over.
But yeah, don't do that. But it is amazing. This is like a Jimmy Olsen centric. Yeah. And I don't know.
And Action Steve Epting.
Yeah.
Doing the art. I was so happy to see that.
Yep. And it's got this really cool, almost like Jimmy Olsen, like hasn't really been drawn like boy cub reporter kind of style. So I like that they kind of went back to that. But like, he's totally just, he's great. He's like, I don't know. It's great. He ends up following, like, you know, danger happens to Jimmy Olsen in the way that it kind of, but not in the way that he becomes like a turtle man, but in the way that
he
stumbles into a meeting of the Cult of Cobra.
Yes.
And then, of course, starts taking pictures. And then, of course, panic and chaos ensues. This is the first part of a new storyline called Leviathan Rising. And it's like a international crime cartel syndicate kind of thing.
Do you think it's the same Leviathan from Batman Incorporated?
Pretty sure it is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's Bendis doing it, so it's a kind of a different take on it. But man, this is such a good comic. There's like a really cool kind of Lois Lane and her dad moment in it. And then also just like Superman doing Superman stuff in Metropolis, like ground level Superman stuff, and just being awesome. Just great. Bendis on DC is great. Love it.
Yeah. Speaking of things I love.
Yeah.
West Coast Avengers, number 7.
Yes, which technically is A, but it's not because we're alphabetical.
According to Diamond, it is W. So.
Yeah, it's W. All right. So I blew the alphabetical. I never learned the alphabet. I also think my name is the Knight.
Fair.
West Coast Avengers number what is it?
Number 7.
Yeah, this one has a new character debut. Great new character debut.
You know what? I'm going to spoil this character because it's going to get people on board with this book.
It's such a good book.
If you happen to remember back to issue, I think, 2 or 3, there were these shark people that were running around town.
There have been shark people in many of the issues of West Coast Avengers.
So the shark people have been like returning a lot.
Yeah.
And in this one, Gwenpool adopts one of them, and it's a little tiny adorable one. And so now there's a little tiny adorable shark person.
It is. Pay attention to the Instagram. If you're a follower of the Instagram, I will post a picture of the shark pup.
That is reason enough to follow this book.
And also all of the Instagram posts this week, which may also be posted within one day, they will all be animal themed.
Very nice.
So shark pup, and they're fighting a group of villains led by, I don't know, just it's superhero fun. It's great.
Yeah.
West Coast Avengers is great.
And if you care about Marvel Boy, he's a thing that's back.
Yeah, he's back. It looks like he's back like regularly.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Hard to tell not seeing the next issue.
Not knowing.
In Grover's Corners, we don't. Detective Comics seems to be coming out quite fast. But there's a new one, and it is $9.97.
They need that Detective Comics 1000 money to keep the doors open.
They are primed. But I actually really like Detective Comics storyline, Peter Tomasi, Doug Mank. This basically is like someone, possibly a Batman-shaped demon, is... Whoa.
Sorry, happened. That's me.
Is like attacking Batman through his former mentors, and the mentor in this one is the guy who trained Batman as a escape artist, also trained Mr. Miracle. So it's like an old guy wearing a Mr. Miracle costume, but he's not scot-free Mr. Miracle. He's the original Mr. Miracle, which is canon from Kirby. It's like goes all the way back.
Oh, wow.
This guy Thaddeus Brown is the original Mr. Miracle.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
That's where the costume came from.
That's awesome.
A circus guy. Yeah. So this is like Batman as escape artist is pretty much like the whole issue. Amazing art. There's lots of piranhas in it. There's lots of other animals and crazy, crazy things. And I dig it.
All right. Well, we're on to Cullen Bunn's Bone Parish. Number 6.
Yes.
It's a great book.
Yes.
Some really wacky shit happens in this one.
Yeah, horror. This is like horror, but like smart comic horror, not like...
Yeah, and it got... Like,
not like the goofy variety. And
this is this particular issue. It's been like straight up kind of normal stuff. And this time it gets kind of body horror-y crazy. Kind of nutso. I really love this book.
Yeah, I missed a few issues of it. And
I actually skipped 2 or 3 issues.
But I love Cullen Bunn. And so it deserves a mention. Number 6.
Sure.
Might be the last issue. Is the last issue? Is it a miniseries?
That's a good question.
I know not.
I hope it keeps going.
From Boom Studios. This, okay. Ooh, this
Betty
is weird.
And Veronica are forever.
They are forever. The art style in this is really weird. But after like 2 pages, and I'm sorry if I'm insulting the artist by saying that the art style is weird, but it's weird for me because it's an Archie book. I don't know. This is not a book for me, but I found myself interested in it. It's like a real world Betty and Veronica as cyber interns for fashion companies or something. I don't know.
Forever.
It's a very like Katie Keene kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's whatever. A thing.
It's Betty and Veronica, Archie Forever, all new number 2.
All new number 2.
All new number 2.
Here, have this.
So Black Hammer is one of my favorite comics, and the 6th and I believe final issue of the Quantum Age miniseries, which is a Legion of Superheroes riff within the world of Black Hammer, by Jeff Lemire and Wilfredo Torres, who is awesome. This is just great Legion of Superheroes pastiche kind of stuff and supplemental to Black Hammer. So if you're following Black Hammer, you might want to check it out. And if you aren't following Black Hammer, it's probably not going to hold a ton of interest for you, but it's a great little series that I like.
Yeah. And Crimson Lotus.
Yeah. Also a great little series that I like, written by John Arcudi in the Hellboy universe. It's cool.
Yep.
Looks great. Mindy Lee, artist, great art in that. I think the Hellboy stuff, as is known, and Crimson Lotus is no exception.
Oh boy.
Okay, so I really love the book that Tristan is flipping.
I know,
right now.
And we do. You gotta say that this is the first appearance of a new character.
Oh, I mean, is it first appearance of a new costume?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, or persona.
Persona, yeah. There's a great bit. This
Listen,
so
if
we should tell them
Spider
what
Gwen
about.
And Gwenpool
yeah, yeah.
can be characters.
True that. This is an action figure waiting to happen. It is Black Panther versus Deadpool
yes.
number 4, which has been surprisingly awesome. This features in the beginning the Black Panther has cut Deadpool's head off and is flying around with it in a ship, and the head jumps up and down and still talks even though it has no vocal cords for some reason. You know, that's the kind of fun that you have in a Deadpool comic. And, I really like
it. It doesn't need vocal cords. It's all charisma.
That's right. But I really like the artist of this series. Ortiz, I'm not sure who, Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. I really like him. The writer is Daniel Kibblesmith. I think he's got a really good handle on both Deadpool and Black Panther, although it's kind of a more, fun take on, Black Panther than, some of the more serious takes on Black Panther of recent. I love it. It's fun. I think great.
Well, if me think great, one thing me think great is Book of Magics. Books of Magic number 4. This is great. Something happens in this that actually I'm kind of confused about, because if this is happening concurrently with all the other Sandman universe stuff, there is an event in this that is kind of like super important to all the other stuff that's going on. But I can't say what that is, or it will spoil everything. But this continues to be an awesome version of Books of Magic.
Yeah, and being someone who doesn't really pay a super amount of huge attention to the other Sandman books, it holds on its own. It's a great story on its own. That's thanks to writer Cat Howard and amazing art from Tom Fowler, who I love, love, love. So good. The art is so good. And the story is great. And I really like Books of Magic. It's super great.
Yeah. Captain America is out. I didn't read it.
I read it. There's a debut of a reimagined classic team, which may or may not be of interest to people.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's a cool, that's cool. It's a cool team.
Okay, that's going to be of interest to people.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I enjoyed it. It was good. I'm not like super Captain America oriented days, but I think that the series is strong, and I enjoy flipping through it for preparation for the podcast.
I have pretty much I've enjoyed every issue of the Coates run so far. Nice. So I'm
new
surprised
artist
I didn't
on this arc,
read it.
I believe.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm not
would,
sure.
Would that
it's
be one
Lionel
Adam Kubert?
Yeah, Kubert.
This new upstart
I
Adam
it's
Kubert.
Kubert. Stephen Kubert.
I remember him. He's the one that jumps up and down the pyramid while being chased by snakes.
Cool.
Kubert.
Your reference is lost on me, but I think it's great. The idea of it is great.
That was a Kubert joke. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, Kubert. A video game character of classic times.
Of the classic times.
Oh, we'll get to another pun I totally missed a little bit later in our
oh, God.
List. Yeah, I told you about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Dead Man Logan, number 3.
Surprisingly fun and good.
Yeah.
I really liked the art, and even though it's kind of... I'm you know, at some point they're going to do something with Old Man Logan character, and this is where it's going to happen. But
yep.
It has the X-Men, and it has the Avengers, and it has some villains.
I've got to say,
it's a jam-packed of characters.
In reading this book, I have to say that Mike Henderson, the artist, draws my favorite She-Hulk.
Yeah, yeah, she looks great. The Avengers all look great. I like his Ghost Rider, too.
Yes,
he's
also
a
great Ghost Rider.
Henderson. I don't know him, but I probably do from something, and I just can't remember what
yeah.
it is. But, yeah.
Ooh.
Doctor Strange 400 is essentially an exercise. Well, it's not really. It's like 10/400, one of those Marvel slash
yeah.
numbers.
Where it's like this is including all of the Tales to Astonish and all that, all the other.
I do have to show you something really funny.
Cut it together to be 400 issues.
Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The first story is the regular creative team setting up a new story arc. And then there are some backup stories by classic Doctor Strange creative teams and a pinup. Oh, there's a great Kevin Nolan Ancient One origin Doctor Strange kind of story in the back. That's great.
Nice. Ooh.
But I have to. it's like, what's going on with that?
It looks like Ditko. Is what
it
looks it like.
Does, but it's not. Someone's doing like a Ditko pastiche, but it's like someone who is a classic artist. There's some pinups and stuff anyway, and there's a nightmare story in the end.
Ooh, cool.
It's a cool fun Doctor Strange. All the greatest hits of Doctor Strange are there to be had within the 400th issue spectacular. So if you pick it up, you won't be disappointed.
And
here's the other pun.
Here's the
I
pun
missed.
That you missed.
Yeah,
yes.
So there's a comic called The Shape of Elvira, and I am such an idiot that I didn't realize for at least 2 hours that it was a pun on The Shape of Water. And even after reading it and seeing that there was a merman in it, I'm a moron. The Shape of Elvira. It is a Elvira Shape of Water miniseries.
And yet again.
And or one-shot? One-shot or
no,
miniseries?
No, I think it's a mini.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And yet again, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's
I love
still,
that Jay Bone cover.
Still better than you would ever expect an Elvira book to be.
Yeah.
As with all the other Elvira books. I didn't read this either. Exiles.
Oh, okay. So this is the last issue of Exiles, which is number 12. It's done. They wrap it up. It's Exiles. There's this really great sequence of panels where the full page spreads, but with multiple panels where each set of panels is in the shape of the character it's telling the origin of, which is like super visually cool. I love it includes the cartoon Wolverine being tormented by the animated X-Men. It's just so much fun stuff in Exiles. I'm gonna miss it. It was a great fun series from Saladin Ahmed and Javier Rodriguez, is that right? Javier Rodriguez. But there was other artists on the series overall. When it comes out in trade, get it. If you didn't get it in single issue form, because it's good.
And the Flash number 63.
The Flash number 63. Also, there's a Flash annual as well. Number two.
Both quite flashy.
The Flash series is like something, I don't know, whatever. It's Flash came out.
Yeah, this is tying into Heroes in Crisis.
Well, this one isn't.
Well, that's...
This one leads into the annual, which ties into Heroes in Crisis. Right. This one is that thing where it's like they're doing the Green Lantern thing where they had the multiple different Green Lantern colors. Now they have multiple different forces. So there's the Speed Force and the whatever force. And it's just like... Stop.
They already had the Still Force. I mean, that's been around for a long time.
I mean, the Turtle Man's always been around. But like, And I love the Turtle Man. But like now there's the Strength Force and the...
Oh, crap.
You know, the Jedi Force. And
oh, boy.
Whatever. I just... Blah, blah, blah. And then there's... Okay, so Heroes in Crisis number 5 came out. I think... that this is clearly they decided to stretch the series to a longer length, and this is a victim of that because literally like 2/3 of this is just Superman giving a speech.
Yeah.
You're reading Heroes in Crisis, you're going to get it. You're not reading Heroes in Crisis, don't start with this issue. But then it ties into Flash Annual number 2, which is where the Flash series, which has completely ignored the events of Heroes in Crisis, which if you haven't read Heroes in Crisis, are kind of Flash centric, it catches up. So then there's like stuff that happens in this sort of annual thing. So kind of big Heroes in Crisis and then a crossover tie-in with the annual.
All right. If you're reading...
Oh, I do have to say, with Heroes in Crisis, though, best splash page I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
The artist Clay Mann, he did the splash page of Blue Beetle and Booster Gold sitting on the couch with the logo, like, drawn in. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Yeah. Like, worth cover price, honestly, just for that spread.
Totally. Justice League Annual number 1. Lots of big stuff. If you're reading this series, there is a lot of stuff that ties into the main series in this.
And it's written by a co-writer, so it actually makes some kind of linear sense.
It makes a little more sense than the normal one.
Yeah, it's actually, if things of the New Gods and things of that nature are important to you, there's like kind of a big thing happens in this Justice League game. But
yes.
I don't know. I'm not really super into it, but it's a Justice League annual, and it's got decent art and stuff happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of
Justice League Odyssey, some weird stuff happens with Azrael in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I didn't really understand it. It also is very much continuity tied to the main Justice League stuff, and I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
This one is a man who has no fear.
Oh, Daredevil is good.
Man Without Fear 5.
Man Without Fear number 5 is the new Daredevil thing, and I thought it was fine. Daredevil is scared of stuff. And he's working through his being scared of stuff.
Yeah. Marvel Knights number 6. I loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's...
totally good.
It kind of hits the point where...
I think it's the final issue.
Stuff finally actually gelled.
Yeah, well, it's the final issue, right?
I think it's the last issue.
It's a miniseries, and this is like kind of like...
Definitely, that seemed like the ending.
Yeah, it's definitely the ending of an arc if it's not the ending of a series. It was cool. If you like the Marvel Knights, I think this was a good celebration of that franchise. And also a Punisher comic came out.
Yeah, Punisher number 7. Boy, I do love a Punisher in prison comic.
In a foreign prison.
And this one definitely hits all the good spots. It's craziness. He has the big skull carved into his chest. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it was intense.
I still call the last issue a debut of a new costume.
Okay. When he carved the skull into his chest. Nice. So Scooby-Doo team up.
Yes.
It's Scooby-Doo and Black Lightning and all of the Scooby-Doo game debut as masked superheroes in this issue.
Amazing.
Including one as, what was it? purple haze. They all have color themed. So like they're with Black Lightning, but they're like, it's like the green goof and the yellow guy. And
also, I'm just going to say it. I find Shaggy's afro kind of problematic.
Yeah.
Shaggy, I mean, Scooby, that's fine. Scooby can have an afro. Shaggy, that feels cultural appropriation.
Yeah,
put that back.
Yeah.
And that top hat is bad on Fred.
Also. Yeah, their costumes, honestly, it's like I'm not quite sure how that occurred. Costumes that are so terrible. But Velma's costume is like what? Like someone designed these, and I guess clearly they spent about 5 minutes on it, but like, you know, I don't know, whatever. The Scooby Gang goes to the school where Black Lightning's character is a teacher, and then they have to fight a ghost.
Yep.
This is what happens.
Yep.
Man. Okay, art-wise, new Amazing Spider-Man has Chris Bacalo. And yeah, it does. So good to see him drawing Spider-Man.
It's
and
so
the rhino
exciting.
And the lizard. And the lizard's lizard kid.
Yep.
And the lizard's lizard wife.
Lizard wife.
Oh man, it's great. I love the art in the Amazing
Spider-Man. Yeah, me too. I love the way that he draws the rhino.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, so cool.
And,
so cool. I wish the coloring was a little bit more I don't know.
It's drab.
I love the coloring. Yeah,
it's
like
the
flat.
Way that it's a throwback to the way that they did it when he was doing it back in the old days. Like it's that kind of Marvel Knights kind of coloring where it's like really muted, kind of like dark feeling. I would definitely rather see it a little like more exciting, but I understand how they're trying to separate the series. So if like this is what you want out of a Spider-Man series, it's like this. If you want colorful, fun Spidey stories, you want Friendly Neighborhood. You know, like if you want young Spidey stories, you want the Miles book. You know, like they're trying to give everything its own place, and I think that's a cool idea.
There's also this really cool thing where you find out the way that Aunt May prevents herself from getting beaten up by criminals, which is pretty fun.
It's the fact that she's a Herald of Galactus and has the power cosmic.
I own that comic and love that comic. The Golden Oldie. The Golden Oldie. All right, next up is The Terrifics number 12. Honestly, I doubt there's a ton of people that are really following this book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe? Yeah.
I mean, more than anything else from that run.
That's cool. Yeah. This is kind of like gearing towards the end of an arc. I heard Jeff Lemire is leaving the book, so I'm not sure what the future is for it, considering I kind of see him as like the entire reason
it exists. Yeah.
But I mean, Metamorpho is my favorite superhero, and you know, he's in it. So I like the Terrifics.
And Dee Dee is my favorite Ramon.
Dee Dee is your favorite Ramon?
Yeah.
Huh.
No, actually, it's Joey. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't lie.
Joey's my favorite for sure. And my favorite album is the one that is Joey's album.
That was a Pontiff song. Dee Dee is my favorite Ramon.
Oh, yeah. And I believe very much that Dee Dee was Kip Brown's favorite Ramon. But,
I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this yet, but Pontiffs are going to come back.
No shit.
Yeah. So it's, you know.
You heard it here first.
Nobody who listens to this podcast knows anything about any of the band stuff that I do. So no one gives a shit.
Spider-Man. Pontiffs are coming back.
In the spring.
So Kip's doing good?
Covering Bees, Pontiffs, and Kip's daughter's band, and Judas.
That is the, oh my God, what is her band called? Euphemia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. So
I don't know. Yeah, anyway, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I know no one who's listening cares. So let's talk about this Wonder Woman comic.
But I bet someone who listens cares.
There may be one person.
We'll make them care. You better care. I'll reach through this microphone and computer screen and make you care.
All right. Wonder Woman.
Ah, I love this Wonder Woman run, and this issue is kind of like a segue issue where there's been, in kind of the background of this run, the G. Willow Wilson run of Wonder Woman, where there's these kind of mythological creatures that are kind of just like doing stuff, and you're kind of like, what are these guys up to? They're on the run. And there's like a Minotaur, and there's like a Goat Boy, and like these kind of goofball guys, and this is their issue. This is like their, you find out that they have names and they do stuff. And,
yes.
And also the return of a classic Greg Rucka Wonder Woman run character, Ferdinand the Minotaur Schiff.
Yes. Chef. And also a Chef. Crazy tag at the end.
What's the tag at the end? Did I miss it or did I just forget about it?
It was a plumbing problem.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who this is.
Oh, well. Yeah.
You'll have to tell me
Big
after
deal,
the podcast.
Crazy.
Yeah, there's someone. They're setting something up
yep.
at the end. And I didn't know who it was. But,
oh, X-Force number 2 is out.
Oh, yeah. So X-Force, we're at the end of the alphabet, canonically. And
this book is so fun.
Number 2 is great. Yeah, there's it's just fun to see these characters doing stuff. I have a super soft spot for Warpath for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's just like one of the first X-Men comics
yeah.
I ever read was his first appearance. And that there was like a double-sized issue where he came back to get revenge for his brother who died. And anyway, I like the X-Force, the classic
yeah.
X-Force.
Me too. And this book is wonderful. There's a fill-in artist. Dylan Burnett is doing the art for this one.
I don't know if it's a dual art team, though, because he's a really good artist. So I wonder if they kind mm-hmm. of have. And I know the guy that was on the first issue is kind of like a more of a top tier Marvel guy. So like maybe it takes longer to do stuff.
Yeah,
so maybe they have like a dual art team, in which case I say good pick because
yeah.
this guy, Dylan Burnett, is awesome.
I like him. He's a little more cartoony. He's got a little more like crazy expressions on faces and things.
I like that.
But I absolutely love it. And I think it works really well for X-Force because X-Force is a little too dark and broody sometimes. So
well,
it's cool.
And also it's not like they're known for like if you go back to like X-Force number 1 and look at the style of it, it's like it's not like it's known for its hyper realism.
Right, exactly.
It's like literally Rob Liefeld. So anyway.
Okay. Something I loved.
Oh, yeah.
Age of X-Men Alpha.
Age of X-Men Alpha.
We got, we're actually finally seeing what this world looks like that was created by the weird merging of Legion and X-Men.
Is that what happened?
Something weird happened. They kind of smushed together. He got stuck in his brain and then something exploded and we didn't really see what happened.
Okay. Who's the antler girl?
I think a new character entirely.
Oh, okay. That was cool.
Her name is like Nature or something like that.
Okay.
I thought she was interesting.
She's a lady with deer horns.
Yeah, she's cool. I don't know if she's like some sort of amalgam of other characters or like some replacement
character. She's like Sweet
character.
Tooth, but like a mutant girl.
Yeah, but super cool.
Yeah.
So this is essentially, we're now seeing a utopia.
Yeah.
Where all of the...
Where everyone's a mutant.
Everybody's a mutant. And the X-Men still exist, but they're like kind of a normal police force and everything seems cool. And then until you find out that it's not quite as utopian as you think it is.
Yeah. There's a spin on Apocalypse that's cool. And there's also like a weird, version of X-Men that are kind of like fascists.
Yes.
I think.
Well,
it was interesting.
Definitely some of them are fascists, but they're basically pretending to be utopian society, but there's a sect at least. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if the ones that we know realize that it's a fascist society.
It seems like some people remember the world that was, and it seems like also there's like X-Men people, they like their X hookups. There's an
yeah.
X hookup in there that's never happened before.
Yeah.
It's like, "Hello." That's like someone's going to start fan fiction on that one.
And
it's me.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
And also, Nightcrawler.
Yeah, Nightcrawler is like the Spider-Man of this world.
He's a famous action hero in movies.
Action.
So that's pretty cool. It's
yeah.
it's a really fun book.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm looking forward to all of this stuff. So
that's cool. It's like just like everything you knew is gone, but everything that you liked is still there, just different.
Yeah. And so last but not least.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's W-Y-R-D, weird, from Dark Horse Comics. Kurt Pires and Antonio Fuso.
New creator
in comics.
Team. What'd you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's great.
I thought it was really fun. It reminded me a little bit of what was that Ben Temple Smith book that he did with...
I don't
know. Find? Was that what it was called?
Yeah. I don't know.
Fell.
Fell. Oh yeah, with Warren Ellis.
With Warren Ellis.
Okay, yeah. You got me.
Yeah, it had a little bit of that to it, but it's like we've got this guy who we find out is basically indestructible or immortal or something.
He cannot be killed.
He tries
to kill himself by throwing himself off a bridge and into an oncoming vehicle and the first two pages, and it doesn't work.
And then they hire him for a job.
Yes, because, like, immediately.
Because he keeps trying to kill himself, but he can't. And so he's like, well, screw it. I might as well go do this job for the military. They're encountering some sort of superhuman something or other. And then he goes and deals with it.
Hmm.
So it's superheroes by way of Dark Horse. It's definitely, it has that kind of...
Yeah, he's got like a Captain America kind of vibe too with his old. But I thought this write-up from Steve Orlando, writer I like, on the back cover that says, it's like Hellblazer meets The Negotiator.
Yes.
And I think that was apt.
It's true. It definitely has such a Hellblazer vibe.
Yeah.
It's like if...
Maybe he's not British, but he uses the C word.
Right. But I mean, John Constantine, if he were...
Indestructible.
If he were like an indestructible man instead. It's like, it's John Constantine as a superhero.
Yeah, yeah. If he came around during World War II and had a Captain America style career and then kept being active throughout the decades. And there's, I don't know, it was cool. Also, he wears an Argyle sweater as his costume, which I was a fan of.
Very classy.
The variant covers by Jeff Lemire, which was kind of neat.
I
thought it was a good, strong number one.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
I also thought the guy writing it had a good ear for the written dialogue, as it's hard. Like Garth Ennis being someone who, and I've talked about this in the past, not that anyone, whatever, it matters, but like I like Garth Ennis as a writer of dialogue. I think this guy writes good dialogue and real strong. This will be like, if it gets picked up as a series, it'll be a good series. Like if it gets picked up as a, it could be a film, it could be a television series. I think it would be a great television series.
Yeah, I'm into it.
And it's cool. And it's, but it doesn't have that feel of like, this is the pitch for a television series. Although maybe, I guess, I don't know.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It feels like a fun comic thing.
Honestly, this book feels like it's out of time for me. Like it feels like this should have come out 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Not saying that it's bad. It's simply saying that like it was from a time before it felt like everything was a pitch for a movie.
Yeah.
Like this just feels like I have a cool story to tell. Let me tell this cool story.
Yeah.
And it's great. I definitely recommend it.
You know who I'd like to see do a variant cover for this series is Steve Yowell, or Yowell, the guy that the first artist on The Invisibles.
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't he do a great version of this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. So it's Wired, or it's Weird, and it's WYRD, issue number one from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And also, when did Dark Horse go back to their original logo?
I just noticed that too. That's cool. Hmm. I love their old logo.
Yeah, it's cool. They're the Dark Horse.
It's a little chess piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got it.
That's it. Those are all other comics, trades, toys. You got Sharknado cards.
I've got Sharknado cards.
there's Sharknado cards.
Just in case you need Sharknado trading cards.
You got Mole People figures.
I got figures of the Mole People from Super 7 that are super cool. They look like the old Remco figures. They're really awesome.
Yeah, they are pretty cool.
Those are great. We got in some really cool Spider-Man figures this week, too.
I miss those.
Yeah, they did the Iron Spider from the movie, so he's got the crazy costume.
Cool.
With the big arms and whatnot. It looks good.
Are they regular figure size, or are they giant, like, hot toy size?
Not hot toy size. Okay. They're like, I think this guy's like 6 or 7 inches, something like
your
that.
Your standard 6-issue mini.
Yeah.
6-issue minifig.
Six-issue mini.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I love it. All right.
Words just come out of my mouth. And they're dumb.
I love it. Well, there is a gas leak in here.
Six-inch action figure.
That's the word you were looking
for. That's the series of words I was looking for. Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right.
It's been a long day, folks.
Yeah, it has.
Yep.
In fact, I think it's time to go.
Yep.
So check us out. I'm Actually Comics on Instagram and Coast City Comics at Coast City Comics, coastcitycomics.com. Just do all those things.
Yeah, and there will be Instagram posts within the next 2 days. We're having an animal theme this week because there were lots of cool animals in the comics. And that's all I have to say.
Awesome. Have a good night, everybody.